In the days of the Tanaim, there were arguments between the Bishamah and the Bishilul, and on the overwhelming majority of the cases, the Gemara says we paskan like the Bishilul. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that there were Yutches Gzeres, there were 18 issues where the Bishamah outvoted the Bishilul. But the Gemara says the next day the Bishilul was not there. It's like in Congress sometimes, they want to push through a bill, so they look who's there that day, and then so the Bishamah looked and they saw they were in the majority that day. So they ran through 18 Gzeres, the Rabbanah, because Bishilul was in the minority. And they disagreed. Bishilul, who were there, disagreed. But then the next day, the rest of the Bishilul came back, so they were asking with the Bishamah. So those 18 don't really count, that the Bishamah outvoted Bishilul, because Bishilul agreed. But the Tosfos, in the beginning of Sukkot, quotes from the Siddur of Amram Kohen that there were 6 cases where we passed like Bishamah against the Bishilul, even though the Bishilul never gave in the Bishamah. So one of those 6 cases is that the Bishamah made Gzera the Rabbon, and you're not permitted to put in, I mean, Atari is certainly obligated to put tzitzis on a garment that's made from linen or made from wool, that's for sure. If it's a silk garment, or it's a cotton, a rayon, or whatever, any other material, that's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, whether other garments are chayiv, cotton is a chayiv min Atari min the Rabbon. But if it's linen or wool, then everyone agrees that you're chayv min atar to put in tzitzis. However, if you're going to have a garment that's made from linen, you're going to put in tzitzis, so the lavon can be made from linen. But the tchelis has to be a certain color and has to be a certain material. The tchelis strings have to be made from wool. So when you put in tchelis strings in a beged shel pishtun, that's going to constitute shatnas. But the din is that eser derechal osese. That's the source of the din of eser derechal osese. That the pasuk of tzitzis in Chumash Dvarim, Midash and Smuch, we have 2 psukim next to each other. So the pasuk of shatnas is right next to the pasuk of tzitzis to teach you this din, that even if you have a beged shel pishton, you have to put in tzitzis, and the chutei tchelus have to be a tzemer. So eser derechal osese, you're allowed to. So in the days of the Tanaim, they had tchelus available, and they had a lot of fakers who were selling imitation tchelus. If you have imitation tchelus, so you're not yotzei the mitzvah of tchelus, so it's really lavan. It's really lovon. So you didn't have to put in shatnas. As the Dechala says, it's only if that's the only way to fulfill a mitzvah. But if the trelis is imitation trelis, it's kloilon, it's indigo, it's not really from the chalozon. So you're not yet to the mitzvah trelis. So for that, you didn't need to put in woolen strings. So then there's no head to violate the Isser of shatnas. So the Bishamah made Gzera the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to put tzitzis in the Beged Shal Pishton, period. We don't permit you to put any tzitzis in the Beged Shal Pishton with the Rabbanon. A Gzera that you may fall in, they may, a faker may sell you posel or trelis. So the Rosh lived in Germany. The Rosh was a student of the Maram Rutenberg, and then when the Maram Rutenberg was put in prison, then he died in prison. So the Rosh realized they're going to put him in prison. They were trying to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he was next in line. So he ran away, ran to Spain. So then they appointed him as a rabbi. So they had this Yekeshe rabbi speaking German as a rabbi in the Sfaradish community. All the menhagim were different, and all the, everything was different there. So he was hit with this. He sees that the balabatim there are wearing talesim made from linen. So he asked Tayyitochen, but we paskan like Bishamah. This is one of the 6 cases that we have from Avraham Goen, that he says we paskan like the Bishamah. You're not permitted, mid the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to put in tzitzis in a beged shel pishton. So the Balabatim explained to him, and then he agreed. He said, that's correct. The Gzera de Rabbanan is that you may fall in with posel or tchelis, but in the days of the Rosh, nobody had any tchelis, period. So you can't fall in with any tchelis. Everything they're going to have is going to be loven. So since the reason for the Gzera didn't apply, so the Gzera doesn't apply. So that's what it says. And the Rosh said, they're right. He realized that they were right. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Yesh Omrim, some are still insistent, Shein Lasas Talos Shal Pishton. You shouldn't put on tzitzis in a beged shel pishton if it's made from linen. Afal Pishein, Alacha came. We don't pass like that. But Yesh Amayim, Yetzias Kulam, and you shouldn't wear a Talos Shal Pishton. So why, Taka, don't we pass like that? The Rosh says that their Svari is correct. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch asked, but isn't that considered Dovish of a Minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achalatir? Whenever the Chachamim make a Gera de Rabbanon for a specific reason, even if in your case, or even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply anymore, the Gera de Rabbanon still applies. So how come the Rosh agreed with the Balabatim? Why don't we say that this is a Dovish of a Minyan, and the Din should still be so? Why does the Mechaber write, Afal Pishen Olocha came? So the Rosh in the Tshuva, the Tur quotes this Tshuva Sarosh, and we have it in the collection of the Tshuva Sarosh. So the Taz says that the Rosh added on an extra line to explain why it's not covered with the din of Davar Shebeminyan. We don't understand. The Rosh does have an extra line, but what does he explain? So it's very unclear. So the Mishkan Yankov has a tshuva. Well, he explains. He says, whenever the Chachamim make a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan for a specific reason, so Ruba, 98% of the time, they didn't divulge the reason. The Gemara says they wouldn't say the reason for the Gezeirah D'Rabbanan till a year had gone by. The Gemara says, the Bavli says, the Marava in Eretz Yisrael, when they made a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, they would wait a whole year until they would tell the reason, because they're going to say the reason right away. We make exactly because it is. So every time Dick and Harry is going to decide, I'm a Talmid Chacham, it doesn't apply to me, so I don't have to observe the Gezeirah D'Rabbanan. So they used to make Gezeirah, they wouldn't say the reason. After a year, they would say. So because the Gezeirah was instituted in the Nusach HaGezeirah, they didn't give the reason. So that's why there's a klal of Dovish and the Minyan, Tzarech Minyan Achalatir. Even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the Gezeirah still applies. But if they would make 2% of the time, maybe 2%, 98% of the time, like 2% of the time, they made a Gzera Darabanan, and they felt compelled to incorporate the Tamak Gzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So they would say, we don't permit you to put tzitzis in the Begin Shal Pishtan, because we're concerned that you may fall in with imitation trailers. A faker may sell you kloilon, indigo, which is not acceptable. It doesn't come, indigo comes from a plant, and it has to be from the Chalozain. So over here the Rosh says, that's how the Mishkan HaSeikim interprets that extra line in the Rosh. Here they felt compelled to include, to incorporate the Tamak Zera into the Nusach HaGzera. So whenever the Tamak Zera is incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera, whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the whole din doesn't apply. Why should there be such a distinction? So the Mishkan HaSeikim quotes the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says there was a machlokes of Shimon Bar Yochai, Shimon and the Chachamim, whether Dashin and time in the Kro, Loi Dashin and time in the Kro. When the Chumash gives a reason, the Chumash has a din, L'sachval beged amon, but it doesn't say the reason. So the Chachamim gather together and they establish what they think the reason is. Hatamasiyah Shem Rabbi Shechein Asa, a whole reason. But the Chumash doesn't give the reason why. So when you darshan the reasons for the mitzvahs, that's a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To try to figure out what religious, moral, or ethical principle is the Torah driving at? What is the Torah trying to teach us with this mitzvah? But is that considered the time of the Kroh, the reason, Tami HaMitzvahs, is that considered the Amidah Shatarin Edreshes Bem, that it should regulate the application of the mitzvah? So whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. That's Reb Shimon's opinion. Darshin on time of the Kroh. Time of the Kroh, Tami HaMitzvahs, are for the Midah Shatarin Edreshes Bem. That's called Darshin. And the Gemara says we don't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. We pass Kandoi Darshin on time of the Kroh. The Gemara always gives reasons for the mitzvahs. That's a chelik on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah trying to teach us. But it doesn't regulate the tama mitzvah, doesn't regulate the application of the mitzvah, not from the midrash Torah and Reshes Bem. So the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, but if the Chumash writes the mitzvah and it gives right away the reason, so then it does regulate the application. It says, Le'abel anoshim, v'lo'yosar es levava. The melech is not allowed to have more than 18 wives because v'lo'yosar es levava. If that's how you read the pasuk, the Gemara said there's a machlekes hatanoim, whether v'lo'yosar es levava is the reason for the mitzvah, le'abel anoshim, or le'abel anoshim semicolon. V'lo'yosar es levava is another love. He's not allowed to marry one wife if she's not too observant. She has not been doctic in mitzvah. But if you read the pasuk le'abel anoshim le'yaso slavav is the reason for le'abel anoshim, so then if they're all from Beis Yankov, if they're all very from, then the whole lav wouldn't apply. So the Gemara says even according to the Chachamim who say lo yidashin in time of the Kro, that's only if the pasuk doesn't write the reason right next to the mitzvah. But whenever the pasuk says a mitzvah has the reason right away, so then the reason does regulate the application of the mitzvah. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankov says, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Rais of Tikkun. 98% of all the Takanas the Rabbanan, all the Gzeiros the Rabbanan, were instituted for a good reason, but they never incorporated the reason into the Nusach of the Gzeira. They wouldn't be mefarsin the reason until a year went by. And there are a few Gzeiros in the Gemara, very little, maybe 2-3% of the Gzeiros, where they felt compelled to incorporate the Tamak Gzeira into the Nusach of Gzeira. So then the Mishkan Es Yankov has a tshuva. He's talking about a case that came up. So he says, what's the klal? What's the tzar hashoveh? What's the common denominator? All the cases where the reason for the gzera was incorporated into the nusach hagzera. So he says, whenever they decided to make a gzera to be oikadovim and atayra, they said, we don't permit you to put in tzitzis and a begin shel pishtan. They're telling us not to observe a mitzvah. If they make exer derabanan in a Torah, you're not allowed to write with your right hand on Shabbos, but you're permitted to write with the left hand. So they made exer derabanan, you're not allowed to write with the left hand. In a Torah, you're allowed to carry in a karmelis, but the rabbanan you shouldn't carry in a karmelis. A million and one exeris derabanan. In a Torah, you can eat chicken and milk. In the rabbanan, we don't allow chicken and milk. So all exeris, that's not akiris dov men atar. But when oika dov men atar, they tell you, we don't permit you to fulfill a mitzvah that you're obligated to do. There they felt compelled to incorporate. How can I make a dinder abundant? Mamish against what it says in the Chumash. Torah says you are obligated. When the power vested in us as rabbis, we don't permit you to fulfill the mitzvah. So they had to incorporate the Tamak Zera into the Nusach HaGzera. So that's an important sif. That's an important shuv in the Mishkan Es Yankov. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch has a din that most people do not observe. Yeshomim, this is based on a passage in the Sifrei on the mitzvah of tzitzis. The post says, the tzitzis should be al akonav. So most people, when they wear the talis, have a hole in the talis, and the tzitzis hang down. So that's not correct. The tzitzis should come out sideways and hang down from the side. So most people are not careful about that. And even if you straighten it out, the tzitzis come out from the side, and then it hangs down on the side of the beggar, as opposed to hanging down. People understand. Let's say you're wearing a talis, so two corners are going to be in the front, two corners are going to be in the back. So let's say in the front, you shouldn't have the hole with the tzitzis hanging straight down. You should have the tzitzis come to the side and then hang down like this. So usually, if you do it like that, after a while, the tzitzis are going to pull down to be straight because of gravity or whatever. It's going to pull down. So you should straighten out again. Make sure it always comes out. The zivin ha-machloikas ha-chreinim ha-natsiv on Shabbos morning, if you realize that your tzitzis are hanging down, is that called nisakin mana to fix the tzitzis instead it should come out min atzad? Because it's a mitzvah bishleimusa. It should be notefes alakeren. It should come out min atzad as opposed to down. So if you're doing something as a hida mitzvah, that's not called a violation of nisakin mana. The mitzvah is bishleimusa even without that. But here the mitzvah shalo bishleimusa. If you're going to have it hanging down straight. So that's samach reinim hol, but that's an iser of misakim on it.
So can't you be samach on the other ones? If you're afraid of being over, then it's a yesh omrim, which means there are others who say you don't have to do it. What are you doing Shabbos?
I don't think so. Yesh omrim, the klal is in the Shulchan Aruch, when it says yesh omrim, and a lot of times it doesn't mean there's a machloikas. A lot of times it means they only found it in one source. They didn't find everybody say that. So the Gemara never says this. One never says one way or the other. The only source is the Sifrei. But why shouldn't we follow the Sifrei? Not every Sifrei is quoted in the Gemara.
Because as you said, there's a chashash being over on Shabbos.
Okay, so on Shabbos there's a machlokes hachaim. The Pashtus says that it's not a problem on Shabbos. Okay. Number three, there's a din in the Gemara. Arisa Moser Pat Ksus Laila, that Ksus Laila pajamas are potter from tzitzis. Even if you have arba kafet on the pajamas, potter from tzitzis. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh representing all the Balei HaTosfos. So the Rambam learns that it's a mitzvah shenehegas bayom, it's not a hegas balayla. Mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't apply to the night. And the Rosh and the Balei HaTosfos learn it's not a vort yom versus layla, it's a vort pajamas, ksus layla. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Arisa Moso, potter ksus layla. Pajamas are potter from tzitzis, but if you're wearing a talis balayla, then you do say a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch says, because it is, let's say if you shouldn't wear a four-cornered garment balayla without tzitzis, you shouldn't rely on the Rambam, because according to the Balei HaTosfos, a bed yom that's not miyuchad for layla is chayv in tzitzis even balayla. But when you put on a talis balayla, the Rambam says sofik brachas lohakel, alkein ein levarach olav el kishalovish bayom. So let's say an erev Yom Kippur, when you come to shul and you say kol nidrus, you have to be careful when you put on your talis. If you want to say a bracha, you should put on the talis by yom. Let's say someone davens for an omid balayla. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the more correct practice is number four, number five. More correct practice is that the chazan should wear a talis when he davens for an omid by ma'ariv also, but he shouldn't put on his own talis. If it's layla red, he's going to put on his own talis. So then it's a machlokes the Rosh and the Rambam what he say a bracha. So it's not if a person, let's say, very benched esrig in the morning, and he's mesupik, maybe the esrig was posel, maybe the hadassim were posel, and he wants to shake the lulav again a second time, but it's misofik. So you have no choice. You have to shake again, dalad minim, and you don't say a bracha. The Rambam says whenever a person is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, misafek, he has to do the mitzvah and not say a bracha. But here, you're not mechuyif to wear a four-cornered garment. To mishum kaber atzibur, the chazan wants to put on a talis when he's going to daven for an omid mayrus. But you're not mechuyif to put on a four-cornered garment in order to have tzitzis. So don't put on the garment, you won't be chayiv at all. So it's not right to put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to do a mitzvah without saying a bracha.
Would you be chayiv if you do something from kovod atzibur? Maybe it's not chayiv with tzitzis anyway. Separate issue, right?
I mean, if you're not going to do a levisha, if a person gets an aliyah and he borrows someone, he takes the shul's talis, he's just going to wear the talis, a bacha here in yeshiva, doesn't wear a talis. He's going to wear the talis for 2 minutes, so that's not called levisha. But if the chaz is going to dab myrib, that's going to be 20 minutes. So then the correct thing is, if a person wears a talis for 5 minutes, he should say a bracha. He's wearing the talis for a while.
Even if he didn't make an atifa?
What?
Even if he didn't make an atifa?
Yeah.
Because you say the satay,
yeah.
Put on your shoulders.
Yeah. That's a chumra. There is an opinion that the Marach Arzarua, the son of the Arzarua, is of the opinion that only a chi of mitzvah tzitzis manator if you do atifa. So we're choshesh for his opinion, so we do an atifa when we say the bracha. But mikradim, we really don't hold like that.
You still put the bracha just on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Why can't you use your own at night?
So if you wear your own, then it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, but they say a bracha. The Taz writes in Hilchas Slichas. It says in the Ramah there, when you say Slichas, you shouldn't wear your own talis balayla. You should take someone else's talis. If you wear your own talis, then you're putting yourself into a situation where you're doing a mitzvah without a bracha, which is not proper. If you have a sofik deraisa luchum, you have to shake the lulav. So you got no choice. So you shake the lulav without a bracha if you're mesupik. But over here, you can avoid the whole thing. Just don't wear the talis. So you're wearing the talisman, thank God, at Tzibur. So wear someone else's talis. Rather than wear your own, wear someone else. That's
so,
the talis.
So when you're davening Maravitz Shatz in the evening, you came in with a short sleeve shirt, you want to put on talis. It's better to borrow a talis rather than to use the shul talis.
Okay,
is
correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Because shul talis is still a bracha.
Because the shul talis
should Shul talis, you should say a bracha. Yeah.
If the only talis available is your own, can you give it to somebody else as a Makarim Nasahas here?
You can do that. I don't know if you're mechuyev to go so far. So you got no choice. Okay. If you can't borrow someone else's, see. If you put on your own, you don't say a bracha. Okay. Yeah. Then the Mishnah Berurah has, let's say the chazan is wearing a talis, he's wearing a talis with tzitzis balay. So in Shulchan Aruch they recommend that a person should check the tzitzis before he says the bracha, because of the chashash bracha levatola. What is he worried about? Yesterday the tzitzis, I checked the tzitzis yesterday and the day before, the tzitzis are always good. So we're concerned that maybe one of the strings ripped in such a way that the tzitzis is not kosher. So several acharonim write that Bizmana said that strings are much stronger and you're not mechuyev to check the tzitzis. But in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, the tzitzis, a lot of times the strings were not so strong. So even though the last 10 times I checked, the tzitzis were intact, Mishum chashash bracha levatol, I should check again today before I say the bracha. Well, what if you're going to wear the talis balayla? You're not going to say bracha. Then the Mishnah Berurah says in number 4, you don't have to check. Because mikra adin, you can shtal af the chazaka. The whole thing of checking is only a chumrah because of the bracha, chashash bracha levatol. But as far as the being mevatel a mitzvah, so you can shtal af the chazaka that it was kosher from yesterday, it's still kosher today. Yeah, a lot of times people daven into 6 o'clock minyan. So the shaila is, can they say a bracha on the talis? So number 6, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Meimus ay merach al tzitzit b'shachar, mishiyake ben chelas shebo the loven shebo." Yeah, you should wait till mishiyake. Mishiyake is the same mishiyake as chaver berichuk dal aramis. When is that mishiyake as chaver? So Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer that in his opinion that's approximately 35 minutes before sunrise. So if the sun rises a little after 7 o'clock in the morning, so you really shouldn't put on the talis before 40 minutes before. Then the Mechaber writes in number 6, Vim lov shem elos ha-shach v'yela, yesham in the mevarcha, mi'ikir adin, it's yom, after l'chatchila, the Mishnah Megillah says, l'chatchila person, whenever you have a davish mitzvah sabayom kosher kol hayom, l'chatchila shouldn't do the bris milah, you shouldn't say halal in the morning before hanetzach hama. But if you have a shasatchak, or if it's b'dievet, so shasatchak is k'dievami, then we allow it from alos al shachar. So strictly speaking, after alos al shachar, you can say the bracha. Although Sal Shachar is way before, 35 minutes before, that's more than an hour before. Okay. The Mechaba says, strictly speaking, if you have to, so you can say a bracha on the Talis even earlier. Yeah. What about tefillin? When is the earliest one can say the bracha on the tefillin? So tefillin, there's a din. Where is this? Okay. Somewhere later in this list of Mamakamas. Okay. Let's say number 7. The Shulchan Aruch writes that first you put on the tzitzis, then you put on the tefillin, because the tefillin, tzitzis is tashmishe mitzvah, and tefillin is tashmishe kedusha, and it's an inyan of malam hakodesh velo marid. Yeah. All of the achrayim ask the kasha, the Shagasari has it stronger than the others, but they all point out, what do you mean malam hakodesh velo marid? The rule should have been the reverse. We have a Mishnah in Zvachim Adaf Teites Amar Aleph, the name of the parak is Kol HaTadir. So the Mishnah says that if a person is interested in performing two mitzvahs now, and as far as he's concerned, he can do first A and then B, he can do B and then A. He doesn't have any special reason why he should do any order. So the Mishnah says, Tadu b'shena tadu tadu kaidim, mekudish v'ena mekudish mekudish kaidim. So if tefillin have kedusha, and tzitzis doesn't have kedusha, so fakat, the rule should have been mekudish v'ena mekudish mekudish kaidim. He should put on that tefillin before. So how does the Mechaber write over here? This is the common practice. Everybody puts on the talis first and then the tefillin, because Malam HaKodesh Olomari. So they explain it's different. Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh means the Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdosh and he's ready to be Makar of Karbonis, whoever comes. Two Balabatim come, one has a Oilam, one has a Shlomim. So the Oilam is Kochim Kochim and the Shlomim is Kochim Kalim. So you should do the Kochim Kochim first, because Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. Or you have two mitzvahs, one is the Raisa, one is the Rabbanon, and the mitzvah of the Raisa is more important than the mitzvah of the Rabbanon. So that's Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. But here, I'm putting the tefillin on my body. When I put the tefillin on my body, that's Moisef Kedusha in me. So that's what he means, Malam HaKodesh V'lei Maridin. When you put on the talis doesn't enhance my Kedusha. Every person has Kedusha Yisroel. When you put on the tefillin, so the Rambam writes that putting on tefillin is Moisef Kedusha in me. Whatever the explanation, that's what the Mechaber writes.
Can we say that tzitzis is todir over tefillin because you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos?
Mm-hmm.
In Yantif. So tzitzis is todir, b'shena todir?
That's a different reason.
Skip over that.
Okay, that's a different reason. I think the Mefarshim talk about that. Why did the Shulchan Aruch give this reason that seems to be difficult? He should have said todir, b'shena todir, todir kut. I don't remember what they say, but they talk about that, Kasha, for sure. Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you're going to be careful to put in, to wear the talis first and then put on the tefillin. So if you have a tefillin zekel, let's say some people take home, they have the same talis for Shabbos and for the weekdays. And then on Shabbos they take home their tefillin. And on Sunday morning they have their talis in the shul. And they come with their tefillin in their hand to come to the shul. Because if the tefillin are in their hand, and as far as they're concerned, they come to shul, it's time to daven shacharis. It's not that he's going to learn for an hour, he's going to go to the Daf Yomi, then he's going to put on the talis and tefillin after an hour. He wants to put on the talis and tefillin now. Before, more correct is he should put on his talis and tefillin before the Daf Yomi, if it's already Higiyah Hazman. Why shouldn't he learn for an hour with the talis and tefillin on? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if he's ready to put on both the talis and tefillin, and he came from home with the tefillin in his hand, and the talis is there in the shul, so he say, Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvahs, even though preferably one should first put on the talis, then put on the tefillin, but if he's holding on to the tefillin in his hand, he has to put on the tefillin first, then the talis. So the Gemara has like this, a Maseches Yuma, where there's a din deraisa, that when you put on tefillin, you have both Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, you have to first put on the Shal Rosh, then put on the Shal Yad.
First
put on the Shal Yad, and then put on the Shal Rosh. Okay. So let's say if a person by mistake took out the Shal Rosh first, so the Gemara says he's not allowed to put on the Shal Rosh first. You have to first, even though there is a din, the Klal of Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvahs, but this Klal takes precedence over the Klal of Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvahs, because Man Shebein Anecha Yushtayim. If you want to put on a Shal Rosh, and you have a Shal Yad also, you should put on the Shal Yad first, and then put on the Shal Rosh. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik was giving Shiurim in Yeshiva, and Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillin, so sometimes we'd put on a Shal Rosh in order to demonstrate something, where it's good, where it's no good, where you have to put it. So he would say he wasn't putting on a Shal Yad, he's only putting on a Shal Rosh. So he said, have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah of Shal Rosh, because you're going to be yotze. Then he said, you're supposed to put on the Shal Yad before putting on the Shal Rosh. If you have both, if you only have a Shal Rosh, you got no choice. But if you have both, you have to first put on. So the Gemara says, if you have a Tefillin Zekel, you have to be careful to have it, the tefillin, in such a way that you're going to take out the shal yad first. Because it's going to take out the shal rosh first, you will not be permitted to pull down the shal rosh first. You're going to have to violate the din of Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvah. So it says over here, you should have a talis, if under normal circumstance, you have a talis echo with the tefillin inside, it should be arranged in such a way that you take out the tefillin before you take out the talis, before you take out the tefillin. Because if it's going to be arranged in such a way, you always take out the tefillin first and then the talis, and then you got to put on the tefillin first. Because Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvah, Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvah. So that's Shulchan Aruch, that's based on that Gemara and Yuma. Gemara and Yuma says regarding Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, but there even be the edit. You have to, even if you pogea b'shal Rosh Trilo, you should not wear it first. But here is not so. Here, if you take out the tefillin first, then you have to put on the tefillin before the talis. Unless the person, let's say, he comes to shul on Sunday morning, and he's going to attend the Daf Yomi at 7 o'clock, they have Daf Yomi, and 8 o'clock... He's not going to put on the talis and tefillin now. He's not going to put it on either. So he brought the tefillin from home and he puts it down on the table. And then when it comes time to daven, so he picks up the talis first, because that was an hour ago that he was holding the tefillin in his hand. And at that time he wasn't interested in putting on the tefillin. So then the rule of Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvahs didn't apply. I remember once I came to a wedding. And we went to the Chassan's Tish, and there wasn't a minyan. It was the middle of the night. There wasn't a minyan, so we couldn't daven Maariv yet. But there was the moon was shining outside. So I said, let's go outside and we'll say Kiddush Levana. So one of the Rabbanim is there, so he said, no, Torah B'Sheina, Torah Kedem. You have to daven Maariv first and then say Kiddush Levana. So I said, but we're not interested in davening Maariv because we don't have a minyan. So he said, it doesn't matter. Torah B'Sheina, Torah Kedem. So that's Beferish, incorrect. He says, a few places in Shulchan Aruch. Torah B'Sheina, Torah Kedem. All these rules only apply if you're interested in fulfilling both mitzvahs now. But if you have a reason why you only want to do one mitzvah, I'm not interested in doing mitzvah B. I only want to do mitzvah A. So then the rules of Torah Shana Torah don't apply. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot and Dalet, let's say a person is davening at home. And he has the tefillin in this room where he's going to daven, and the talis is in the other room. Even though he's not holding the tefillin in his hand. If the tefillin is munach b'cheder sholofonov, munach ha-tefillin, b'cheder rach munach ha-talis, that's also called Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvahs. He quotes, Raya mehod the yuma daf lam gimel amad beis. The Gemara says, if you're closer to the one, so that's also, even though you're not holding onto it, that's also a violation of Eim Avir and Allah Mitzvahs. Number 8, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the common proper practice should be that a person should put on talis and tefillin at home and walk to shul with the talis and tefillin on. That's based on a Zohar, that the person should come ready to shul, all prepared. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, what if you live, Mishnah Berurah on the next page, on the top of page 3, if you live in New York and there's dirt all over in the streets, or you have women half undressed, or there are nochrim in the street, and it's going to cause more anti-Semitism. So then, you don't put on the talis and tefillin at home, you put it on later in the shul. So the Mishnah Berurah goes all the way with this Zohar that the Magen Avraham quoted, that rather than put on the talis and tefillin in the shul, you put it on in the vestibule before the shul. So there was a rabbi who passed away a few years ago at the age of 90 or so, I forgot his name, in Baltimore. He was one of the Americans who wanted to learn in Europe before the Second World War. He learned there for 8 years in Chelsea Yeshiva. So he put out an interesting book in English that's called Minhag Lita. Very fascinating. So he writes that after the war, all the yeshivas were destroyed, and then when they founded yeshivas in Arizona, America, so they tried to reconstruct how did they run everything in the Litvashi Yeshiva. So they looked in the Mishnah Berurah, and they thought the Mishnah Berurah represents the practice in the Litvashi Yeshiva. So he says, not at all. He says they didn't follow this Mishnah Berurah even a Radin. Nobody put on the tefillin in the vestibule. Everybody put on in the shul. That's what they quote from Moshe Feinstein also. He said if you're putting on the talis and tefillin at home, then you're going to go to shul in the street if it's a clean city, there's no nochrim and so on. So that's, you should follow the Zohar. But if you already can't put it on at home, you're going to put it on in shul. So you don't gain anything by putting it on in the vestibule and coming back into the shul. That's here in the yeshiva, I remember Rabbi David Lipschitz and the Mashgiach, they always just put on talis and tefillin in the shul, because you're not going to put it on at home and then walk to shul.
Just
regarding the other issue about at the wedding when you didn't have a minyan and the Kiddush Levana, there's another issue that the Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah of veris because the moon could cover it, not cover it, so why wasn't that, was that ever brought into the discussion?
I don't remember.
No.
Mean tonight, then maybe I'll lose my updack and say tomorrow night.
If it's a cloudy night, let's say, and you know the moon's going to be for 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Even if you have
yeah.
that, wouldn't you say do the Kiddush Levana
night? Yeah, that is a consideration. Absolutely. Yes, yes. Then number 9 is the famous Gemara.
Why is there no Tidur Mitzvah to put it on in the vestibule? You're still walking into the minyan itself.
I don't know. That's what Rav Moshe says. That do I quote in the name of Rav Moshe? That the heder is to wear the tefillin at home. When you get dressed at home, you put on talis and tefillin. But if you already came to the shul, he says that you don't gain anything by
the
putting it on.
Is not a mokum kodosh.
Right. Still?
Yeah.
So that's what he holds. That's what this rabbi from Baltimore writes, that no one had that, and none of the yeshivas in Lithuania did they do like that. The Mishnah Berurah just ignored the common practice, and he writes things that no one observed, even his own yeshiva. No one observed like that. Like in the Mishnah Berurah, he has around 10 mishalim for this. He says, the Mishnah Berurah says, when you say, Baruch Abba, Yisrael, B'yavo, you say Shema, so you should say it together with the Chazan, and no one to say Amen. He says, in all the Litvishi yeshivas, everybody said the bracha first, and then the Chazan said, Baruch Abba, Yisrael, B'yavo. 400 people screamed out Amen, and then they screamed out Shema Yisrael. Everybody did like that. There's a fascinating book by it was just published, I think, 2 years ago by the OU in English. There was a fellow who was 21 years old. He got smicha from some rabbinical institute in Paris. He had smicha, and then his father was a rabbi, and his family decided he should go learn in the Miri Yeshiva. So they only had enough money. He's going to have to hire a tutor to teach him. He wouldn't be able to learn on his own. So they only had enough money to, and he has to pay for his apartment. So the Sia has to pay for food, has to pay for a tutor, so they only had enough money for half a year. So he was going to go learn there in the yeshiva, Miri Yeshiva, for half a year. And then the war broke out, so he describes the whole fascinating thing. So he says he came there to the yeshiva, and the first minyan that he davened was Ma'ariv, and he said, everybody screamed out Amen, he screamed out Shema Yisrael. He thought the walls were going to fall down. He never said such a thing, but everybody screams out Shema Yisrael. And they described the same and tells this, tells in all the Litvish yeshivas they did like that. Mishnah Berurah writes, not so. Mishnah Berurah has a lot of things that don't correspond at all to the practice Yizgadel Yizkadesh also. No one said Yizgadel Yizkadesh. That's the Nusach HaGra. Everybody said Yizgadal and all the yeshivas and all by all the Balabatim. That was not the common practice. Mishnah Berurah has a lot of things that do not represent what the minig was in Lithuania.
My friend mentioned that. I think it was Chaim Shapiro in Baltimore who would get up after the bracha, you know, of Abba Rabba, and meet everybody and say, Amen.
Okay. This book was by somebody else. I forgot his name.
Polyakov.
Polyakov, right. Rabbi Polyakov. That's the name, correct. Yes. Number 9 is a Gemara. The Gemara has. There's Machloikas Hatanayim. The Pasuk says, Mihu Yishayari Rachaleb, Yelach Yoshev Lebeso. He shouldn't go into the army. So one Tana is, some Tanayim are of the opinion, Yorim Me'averish Ebiyoda. If the person is a Balaber, you're not allowed to take him into the army. The Rambam doesn't Paskin like that. Machloikas Mishani, whether we Paskin like that Tana or not. So on the assumption that a person is a Balaber may not be taken into the army, so there's a further machlekes hatanaim. That's how the Gemara explains in Saita and Perik Moshoch Mochama. There's a machlekes hatanaim. What if the fellow is very careful? He only violates averes the rabbanan, and he never violates any averes the raisa. Do you exclude him from the army or not? So that's a machlekes. The Gemara says, for example, what's an example of an avera the rabbanan? A person who talks in between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, because he's garim bracha sheina tzvicha. Because if he would have not talked, he could have covered the Shal Rosh with the bracha that he said on the Shal Yad. But now that he's mafsik in between, so he's goring bracha, he's going to cause, he has to say another bracha. So what exactly is the din? If you didn't talk and you did talk, what's the din? So Rashi learned, the machlek is Rashi and Taisus, and the end of brachas, I think it's Dav Samach on the base, and the end of brachas. So Rashi learns, if you didn't talk, you only say Lohaniach Tfilin, and that covers the Shal Rosh. And Rabbi Natam says, no, you always say a bracha on the Shal Yad, Lohaniach and a bracha on the Shal Rosh on mitzvahs tefillin. And if you talk to between, then you have to say two brachas on the Shal Rosh. So that's the minhag Ashkenaz, is that if you that if you didn't talk, you say one bracha on shal yad, one bracha on shal rosh, and if you did talk, then you say two brachas on the shal rosh. So that's the machlek, is the mechaber and the Rambam. So the mechaber writes like the Rambam, like Rashi, v'aniach number 9, v'aniach shal yad tefillin, yivarach l'aniach tefillin, chakach niach shal rosh, v'lo yivarach. Kim bracha achas l'shneim. You rely on the l'aniach that you said on the shal yad, if you didn't talk. V'yeshomim, the Rambam says, this is Tesus, the Rabbi Natan, l'varach al shal rosh al mitzvah tefillin, afilu lo hifzik, v'chein poshar amirik b'bnei Ashkenaz, shem b'varachim shtei brach, it's like one bracha on the shal yad, one bracha on the shal rosh. And because Rashi and the Rambam hold that you're not supposed to say al mitzvah tefillin on the shal rosh, after you finish saying the bracha, then you say baruch shem kvod malchus al yalvoit softly, because the Yerushalmi Tosfos and brachas quotes Yerushalmi that if one by mistake said a bracha lematala, so you should say baruch shem kvod malchus al yalvoit. Here we paskin, the Rambam is paskin like the Rabbi Natan, that you do say the bracha, and if you're loy hipsik in time, you do say the bracha on the shal rosh, but out of respect for Rashi and the Rambam, all that is a bracha lematala, you say baruch shem kvod malchus al yalvoit. Yeah. So not everyone, even though we follow meaning Ashkenaz, the Vilna Goyen's practice was like the Mechaber, that he only said one bracha. Rav Soloveitchik's practice was like that. So not all the Ashkenazim follow this Ramah. There are many Ashkenazim who follow the Mechaber, that you only say one bracha on the Shol Yam.
When you say Rav Soloveitchik's practice was like this, which is the this you're referring to?
The Mechaber, the Goyen, that you only say one bracha. If you didn't talk, you only say Lohaniach, and no bracha is recited on the Shol Rosh. Yeah. Then the Mechaber writes in Sif in number 10, in Sif, or which Sif is it? Sif Ches. All the brachas should be recited Oyva Lasi Yosem. So the Rishonim explained, why did the Gemara say Oyva Lasi Yosem? Why did they say Koidem Asi Yosem? Koidem means sometime before. Oyva means immediately before. The exclusion of Oyva the Oyva. So if a person is in the process of taking out the Shal Yad, you shouldn't say the bracha l'aniach tefillin. The Gemara says tefillin me'masai m'varach aleim. After you have the tefillin shal yad on the muscle and you're about to tighten it, that's immediately prior to fulfillment of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is when you tighten it, so then you say the bracha. So that's what the Mechaber says. Kol ha'mitzvah m'varach aleim oivah l'asi yosem. Oivah means immediately before. L'fichach tzorach l'varach ala tefillin shal yad. Acha hanocha ala kivoris. Kivoris is the muscle. Kodim kshirasam before you tighten it, because kshirasam zu asi yosem. That's the oivah l'asi yosem. Asi yosem is when you tighten. B'chem shal rosh. You shouldn't say the bracha when you're about to put the tefillin on your head. When you have the tefillin in the right location, you're about to tighten it on the head. So that's the oivah l'asi yosem. Kodim shal hatken barosha before you tighten it, because the tightening is the hanochas hatfillin. Then the Mechaber writes again. And Sif Tes, one should not talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. And if he did talk, he got to say one bracha on the Shal Rosh. And the Rambam says, no, we would say the both brachas on the Shal Rosh. Yeah, the Mechaber continues in Sif Yud. What if a person is in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh and he has Kaddish Kedusha Borchu? Should he answer or not? So that's a machlekes in the Rishonim. Because some Rishonim said that whenever you answer Kaddish Kedusha Borchu, that's not a hepsik v'haraya, that sometimes in Kiddush and Yontov we would say Yak Nahaz. He say Yain Kiddush Nehavdolah's man. Then you drink the wine. So how can you say Kiddush Ner Havdolah Zman? How do you say four brachas in between Bar Piagofen and drinking the wine? Isn't it a hepsik? So they came up with the answer, a bracha is not a hepsik. A bracha, if you talk about the weather, you talk about politics, that's a hepsik. A bracha is not a hepsik. So the answer, Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, that's okay. We don't paskin like that. We paskin even a bracha is also a hepsik. I said, what's with Yak Nahaz? So the Rosh says, no, Kach Tiknun Chachamim. The same Chachamim who instituted that one should recite a Brichas Hanenin and not be mafsik in between the Brichas Hanenin and the drinking of the wine, they were the ones who made the takona that Kiddush should be recited ala kos. And you should recite Yain Kiddush Ner Havdolah's man, or Havdolah, you say Yavna, Yain Besamim Ner Havdolah. And it's not considered a hepsik between the Bir Piagofen and the drinking of the wine, because Kach Tiknun Chachamim.
Then you would say that every Kiddush is a hefsek between your Pascha like Bes Hillel that you spay Borei Priya Gofen and then Kiddush, then every Friday night Kiddush is a hefsek too.
Right, right. So that's what some of the Rishonim said. Well, a bracha is never a hefsek. So to do...
According to that Hava Amir, that Yak Nahaz is a hefsek, but a regular Kiddush...
Every Kiddush, no. Every Kiddush.
Every Kiddush.
And the Rosh quotes the Yak Nahaz to exaggerate. You say four brachas. Four brachas, but you're right, every Kiddush would be a hefsek.
You want to exaggerate, you can say seven brachas.
Okay, correct. That is correct. Yeah. So So that's the common practice, yeah. In the Shulchan Aruch, then it says further that you're not allowed to talk in any language. Taisus and Brachas quotes that there were those who think in the middle of Psukkah Zim, in the middle of Birchas Krishma, you're not allowed to talk in English or in Yiddish, but to talk in Lashon HaKodesh, that's okay. I remember when I was a little boy, the Balabatim, the European Balabatim, whenever they wanted to talk when you're not in the middle of Krishma, so they were talking in Hebrew. Talking in Hebrew doesn't count. Why? Why? It's all based on this. That to talk in Hebrew is a mitzvah. The Dabar B'Lashon HaKodesh and mitzvah. So mitzvah is not called the Hefsek. So Tosfos and Brachas emphasizes that. When it says in Mishnah, you're not allowed to talk, so Tosfos says, it doesn't make a difference whether you talk in Hebrew or talk in any other language, because there was such a practice in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, that to talk in Hebrew doesn't count. Then the Mechaber writes in Sif Yud Aleph, at the end of number 10 in the Marmatimus, that you're not allowed to be mafsik in between the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. So when is one a fulfillment of the Shal Yad? So the Gemara says, how long does the Ritzuva Shal Yad have to be? The Gemara says, long enough that you should be able to wrap it on your arm and wrap it around on the finger three times. So there's the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mishkan as Yankiv, who has a fundamental machlekes harishonim. What does that mean? So most of the Rishonim assume that's how long the Ritzuah has to be, but it doesn't mean you have to wrap around your finger. If you put on the Shal Yad just on the muscle and it's holding, you're ready, it's in the Mitzvah Shal Yad. That's just how long the Ritzuah has to be, long enough to be able to go like that. And other Rishonim say no. The Ritzuah has to be so long because you're not yet in the Mitzvah Shal Yad until you put it on the Ritzuah all the way down. So the din is you have to put on the Shal Yad before the Shal Rosh. So the Mechaber Paskins, you only put on over here. Don't put on the rest. The rest is not really necessary for the mitzvah. And it'll be a hefsek, unnecessary hefsek in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. And you don't want to be mafsek. The Magen Avraham quote, Rav Moshe Feinstein used to do like, he only put on the Shal Yad over here, then he put on the Shal Rosh, then he put on all the krichas. Magen Avraham quotes that from the Maharil, and from Rav Moshe Kudavero, they're different generations. Moshe Kudavero was a Talmud of the Arizal, that it's okay if you put on the krichas over here. That's not a hepsik, that's a hemshech. Just like he gives the Maharil gives a tushel. Just like on Shabbos when you perform a bris, if you cut off pasta archeifes raiv haTorah, cut off raiv of the skin that covers the eva orla. Strictly speaking, the mila is kosher. But mishum hid the mitzvah, the mal should do a good job. He should cut off all the or achayfas haTorah. So the shayla is on Shabbos, though. He already, by us, it never happens, because by us, we have the practice. The moel separates the or haOrla from the orla. Then he stretches it, and then he takes a knife and he cuts like this. That's a one cut. So by us, the shayla never comes up. But what if in the days of the Gemara, apparently they didn't do like that? So let's say he's cutting around the or haOrla, and he already cut so much that he cut off bar sarchayfas raif haTorah, and it's Shabbos. So we should say he's not allowed to. Mila b'zman is decha Shabbos. We say he should stop. He shouldn't cut anymore. If he's going to continue to cut, he's going to be mechal Shabbos with more blood coming out. So the Gemara says no. Kol zman shel asilik yada. If he didn't put on the bandage yet, he may continue to cut even the miur ha'achron. Why? It's a hemshech of the mitzvah. Not only the ikir part that's ma'akev is decha Shabbos. The hemshech is also decha Shabbos. So that's what the Maharil says. If you put the krichas, it's not a hefsek between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. It's a hemsech of anochas
haTefillin. Sometimes the tefillin aren't properly mehudak anyway without the krichas.
Right, correct. That's the Mefarshim say that too. Sometimes it's just not going to hold without the krichas. Yeah. Right. So I don't know how Rav Moshe did it, but he only used to put on this part. He didn't put on the rest.
So why not finish the whole thing?
So Rav Moshe Kudavera says, "I'll pick Kabbalah." No. Because this is already Kabbalah terminology, which I don't understand. He says, the krichas on the etzba, we say, berastich leilayolam, like a chasen putting the ring on the kala's hand, and the shal yad is the chasen, and the shal rosh is the kala, and if the kala's not here, so you can't put the ring on. So what does that mean? So this has to do, the Mishkan Yankiv has a tshuva about that, this has to do also with the practice that by Svardim they put on Shal Yad in a sitting position, they put on Shal Rosh in a standing position, because the Shal Yad is the Chosin and Shal Rosh is the Kala. I don't know where the Sphiris, I don't know what this is, Malchus and Yisod something, I don't know what this means. So the Mishkan is Yankiv writes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and this was the Chavetz Chaim's practice. He would put on the whole Shal Yad with the Krichas on the Etzba before putting on the Shal Rosh, because he followed the other Rishonim, that when the Gemara says how long does the Ritzu have to be, it's not just how long the Ritzu has to be. You're not Yotze the Shal Yad until you put on the Krichas on the Yetzba. Then you have to put on the whole Shal Yad before you put on the Shal Rosh. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah number 11 quotes that. I'm a Jewish Mishkanas Yankiv. Then she really put on, he says, all the Kriyas Shepibah. Rabbi Soloveitchik had that practice. He would follow Mishkanas Yankiv and learn Barab Chaim Balozhin and Balozhin Yeshiva. He was from the early Talmidim of Balozhin. When he would visit the Yeshiva, Chaim Balozhin would be mechabed him to give a Shia in the Yeshiva. He was considered a major Poisek. So that was their practice. In Balozhin, many had that practice. They followed that. They say the Chofetz Chaim's personal practice was like that. He put on, Chaim did like that. Many have such a practice. Put on the whole Shal Yad before he put on the Shal Rosh to be choshish for that opinion, that you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah, unless you put on the kriches on the etzba as well. Yeah, number 12 is a machloikas hatanam in the Gemara Sukkah. What if I already wore tefillin in the morning, then I put on tefillin for mincha? Do you say a bracha the second time? We usually assume the mitzvah is once a day, every day. So this machloikas hatanam in the Gemara Paskins like Rebbe, even though he's the minority opinion. Alochi ki Rebbe, tefillin kolem she minichon, mevorech aleihem. Yeah. Sometimes people travel from California to Shanghai, so they're going to cross over the date line. So they already put on tefillin, they daven in California, they already daven shacharis in California, they put on tefillin. But then when they cross the date line, it becomes tomorrow. So they should really put on tefillin again it's the afternoon, let's say. So they should put on tefillin for tomorrow. So where do you cross the date line? So that's a big machlokes. So there was a minority opinion that the date line cuts through Alaska. And the Chazon Ish says that it's absolutely incorrect. They read everything wrong. The dateline cuts through Korea. One quarter of the world. There's a mut of the machlokes from Alaska to Korea. It's 25% of the globe. So if you cross over the dateline that cuts through Alaska, say Nishken Bracha Levatola, if you're going to put on tefillin in the afternoon and say another bracha, you can do it even if you didn't cross over the dateline. We pass in tefillin, Kolei Mishem Minichem, a bracha lem. You say a bracha every time. Every time you put on tefillin. Rashi's opinion is that the same is true regarding lulav. If I shook the lulav in the morning before I go to shul, and then before halal I pick up the lulav again, so Rashi's opinion is another bracha when you shake the lulav. We don't accept Rashi's sheep over there. We paskin that there's a difference. That lulav, midag bein nafik behei, so you be out to the mitzvah already. It's a hider mitzvah to have the lulav, the Anshi Yerushalayim is all the lulav all day long. But there is no mitzvah b'shleimusa to hold the lulav all day long. That's a hider mitzvah. But as far as tefillin, it's a hider b'chatchila deraisa l'chatchila derabbanan. That's a machlekes rishayim and achrayim. That tefillin should be worn all day long. That's for sure l'chatchila deraisa either deraisa derabbanan. So that's why by tefillin kolei m'shaminicha mevarach aleim, because you're continuing to fulfill the mitzvah. And by lulav, we don't accept that opinion of Rashi. Number 13 is a din that many people violate. When do you take off the tefillin? How long are you supposed to wear the tefillin? So the Mechaber writes that you should wear the tefillin till after you say the Kedusha in the Avol Tzion. and then you can take off the tefillin before Kaddish Tiskabim. Before the Kaddish Tiskabim. Then the Ramah says, V'yesh mishu kos v'atzara kabodah shul alachim sat shomah behem Sholosh Kedushas V'arba Kadeshim. He shouldn't take off the tefillin until after the Kaddish after Aleinu, because the Kaddish after Aleinu, the Ramah says later in Hilchas Aleinu, that even if there's no Yosem, if there's no Yosem in the Shul, so you don't say the Kaddish after Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis L'Dovah, that's a Kaddish Yosem. But the Kaddish Tiskabula, the Kaddish after Tachnun before Ashrei, that's not a Kaddish Yosem. Even if there's no Yosem, you say that Kaddish, that's part of the tefillah. The Kaddish in between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, that's part of the davening, even if there's no Yosem. So what about the Kaddish after Aleinu? So we usually assume it's a Kaddish Yosem. So the Ramah quotes later, no. There are those who know that the Kaddish after Aleinu, even if there's no Ovel, someone has to say that Kaddish. That's the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur. You end with the Kaddish Tiskabula, you end with the Kaddish after Aleinu, even if there's no Yosem. So this Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, this Ramah is Lishitosa. The Ramah holds that the Kaddish after Aleinu is an integral part of the tefillah. Even if there's no oval, you should have somebody say that Kaddish. And you shouldn't take off the tefillin until after the tefillah b'tzibur is completed, dainu, after the Kaddish, after Aleinu. Then there's a third opinion. The Kaddish tiskabel after Avol Tzion. That's the conclusion of tefillah b'tzibur. That's why it's tiskabel tzalosan. So you shouldn't. The Ramah says you shouldn't take off the tefillin until after the Kaddish, after Aleinu. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes on that Ramah, he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, that the Rambam is quoting this from a Kabbalah source, Al Tara Kabbalah. Rambam is quoting a Sefer. So the Vilna Gaon says that that's a misprint in the Sefer. It's a Torah Sefer. Instead of three Kedushas and four Kadeshim, should say the reverse. Should say four Kedushas and three Kadeshim. So where are the four Kedushas? There are only three Kedushas. There's Kedusha before Kriya Shema. There's the Kedusha on Chazor HaShat. And there's Kedusha on Avol HaTzion. So the fourth Kedusha is Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu counts as...
On Monday and Thursday, you have one extra one. You're ahead of the game, really. On Monday and Thursday, you have one after Priest of Tova. So you have four before that.
Okay, right.
Don't you?
So, right. So others say the three Kadeshim, maybe Monday, Thursday, you're ahead of the game, but the others say no. You should wait till after the Kaddish Tiskabel, because you should keep on the Tefillah to the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur, which is not like the Ramah says, the Kaddish after Aleinu, but rather the Kaddish Tiskabel. It doesn't really mean three Kedushas, it means after the Kedusha, after the Kaddish Tiskabel. A lot of people are in such a rush, they take a look, you have to run to the office, you have no choice. But if you're not in such a rush, you should really wait to take off the tefillin until after the Kaddish, after Aleinu. That's what in number 14, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Prima Gaon says, if the minig amokim is, in many places that is the minig, like the Rama says, you insist on saying the Kaddish Yosem b'chol yoyim achar Aleinu, even if there is no ovil, so tov shelo laklas haracha Kaddish Yosem. Because the idea behind insisting on saying HaKadosh after Aleinu, even if there's no Yosem, is that that's the completion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur.
How do you apply that to the Sephardic world that don't say Kaddish after Aleinu? Say it before Aleinu.
I don't know. I'm not familiar. I don't know. Then the Gemara says you put on Tefillin on the left arm, unless a person is a lefty, then he puts on Tefillin on the right arm. What if a person is Sholeh Pishtayodav, then the Gemara says, if he's ambitious, then you put tefillin on the left arm. So you often have the following Shaila. What if the person writes with the left hand, he does everything else with the right hand? He throws balls, and he bangs a hammer with the right hand. He just does the writing with the left hand.
So what does that person do?
Oh, so which arm does he put on tefillin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, V'yesh Omrim, V'yesh Omrim Shayat Shekoseh Bohi Chashuv Yemin Li'in Zeh, Minich Tefillin B'yad Shekenegdo. If he writes with the left hand, he does everything else with the right hand. So the Ramah says, V'achinog. And meaning, the Ramah supports that last sheet in the Mechaber, that you follow Ksiva. Yeah, this is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Achat Menos al Yadecho, Uchsavtam al Mezuzas Beisecha Bisharecha. So in the Chumash Devarim, the Gemara says, V'darshan Smuchim, two Psukim that are next to each other are connected. So we assume the same hand that does the writing, if you write with the left hand, that's the hand that should tighten that's the hand that should do the kshira, the hiduk of the tefillin. So that's the psak of the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah defends the psak of the Ramah. Most of the Acharonim do not follow this Ramah. Most of the Acharonim say fakert, that if a person writes with the left hand and he does everything else, he bangs with the hammer with the right hand, he throws a ball with the right hand, that's considered shalei pishtayodav, and he should put tefillin on the left arm. So most would not paskin like this, Rama. Most would paskin that he should put tefillin, should put tefillin on the left arm. If
the other way.
That what?
My son, like that. And two rabbis paskin.
Okay. That's because they look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah defends this psak of the Rama of Hachinog. But most of the other Achrayim say we shouldn't follow. This.
You put it on the right arm.
Shalei b'shtayodav, he's ambidextrous, you put it on the left arm.
But
yeah.
If tziva is one and everything else is the man.
So that's equivalent to shalei b'shtayodav. So the one who shalei b'shtayodav puts on the left arm.
When a great violinist such as Yasha Heifetz from Vilna, Russia, would play the violin, the tefillin is, the way the tefillin is put on in the position of the violinist, the tefillin poises the hand, it sets the position of the hand. 85%, the tefillin is, so therefore, when you make tefillin, the vibrato, the impulse comes from the middle, from this particular knuckle, which allows to beautify that.
Maybe we can leave the
share.
This is what I'm saying. Is the tefillin the musical instrument to the Jew, the prototype, the makers, because the headquarters of making the music, Evan Shalinda the Tzaddik, is the right hand. We laid the tefillin. What we are doing is we are establishing the chain of command of the body in terms of the brain chemistry.
What's the question this year?
Because that is what the tefillin is about.
Beautiful idea.
That's what the tefillin is about.
Yes. Yes. Number 16, the Gemara says that you shouldn't wear tefillin. There's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes harishonim had a paskin whether laila is lav's mantvilim in a Torah. Shemata silchuk hazois miyamim yamim miyamim velo leilos. There's a machlokes hatanoim v'shemata silchuk hazois goes on chukas haPesach and korban Pesach miyamim yamim means yearly, annually. Or no, it goes on chukas haTfilin. It's unclear what the pasuk is referring to. And if it goes on tefillin, yamim yamim means daily. You should put on tefillin every day. So if it means daily, if it goes on tefillin, then miyami means v'lo leilos. Then laila loves man tefillin as a diminator. So the Rambam paskens like that. That laila loves man tefillin. What?
Yamim yamim is the one from Shmuel.
Shmuel the Amora.
No, Sefer Shmuel, Perek Aleph.
Oh.
Oh,
he traveled around the Yom Yom.
No, he came every year to the Mishnah, Yom Yom. Yeah.
Okay.
And that meant every year.
Right?
That's
right. Right.
It's supposed to be opposite the heart. That's why it's on the left.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's how the Gemara says, yeah. One of the Chaim has a tshuva. What if you know that a person's heart is on the right side? It still puts a tool on the left arm. It tells you how high up on the arm it should be, but it doesn't necessarily mean because the heart is on the left. Even if one has an abnormal body and the heart is on the right side, he still put tefillin on the left arm, unless he's a left arm.
That proves that you're not Torah Talmudic grub.
Okay. Correct?
Yeah.
Correct. So the Rambam paskens that Laila loves him on tefillin is a din d'oraisa. And most of the Rishonim paskens not so, that min haTorah you do put on tefillin b'Laila, it's only a gzeirah m'derabanan. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh? What if the person woke up in the morning? He slept all night. He woke up in the morning. It's before alos al shachar. So if it's a gzera derabbanan shema yishem b'hem, he's not going to fall asleep. He already woke up after sleeping all night. That he can put on tefillin in the morning, even though it's before alos al shachar. But according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to put on tefillin b'alayla. So what if a person comes to shul to daven early in the morning? He's davening at the early minyan, way early. So we put on tefillin without a bracha, and then when it's after Alos HaShachar, after Mashiach HaShchadero, then you say the bracha. So Moshe Einstein has a tshuva when he lived under the communists. So a lot of times they made them work all day, and they weren't able to put on tefillin. They couldn't put on tefillin where they worked, they wouldn't let them. And they were only put on tefillin before Mashiach HaShchadero. So he felt, what is he going to do? He's going to tell the Balabatim they should put on tefillin without a bracha. The end will be they'll be negligent. They won't want to put on tefillin. If you tell them to do a mitzvah without a bracha, they won't do it. So he took the responsibility on himself. He said, if you pass like Rover Rishonim, he said the communists are going to be around for a while. They're around for a long time. So he said they should say a bracha on it. We follow Rover Rishonim, that Iker Adin Laila is man tefillin. The only reason why you're not allowed to put on tefillin is Gzeir Hashem Yishem Bohem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in 18. That's how most of Rishonim paskin. And Sarah Moshe said under such circumstances he would recommend that they should say a bracha on the tefillin. Okay, the list you'll take a look now, 19 and 20. Okay? Have a pleasant day. That's how they all did in Europe. Shalom Aleichem.